Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cenacle Series, and this is the ebook series where we attempt to methodically take Reverend Father Joseph Leo Annuzzi's doctoral dissertation and methodically go through it. And we'll explain what he did and what we use for those who are joining us for the first time in a few moments. We're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. Our prayer is going to be the trio right here. So we'll begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most Holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. School of Mary invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more, the spirit of faith, hope, and love, the spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God, the spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm bringing Maureen here. Just a joy to be here. Grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. You know, Maureen, we need each other. We really do. You know, man was never created to be alone. Obviously, it was Adam and Eve. We've never been destined for solitude, but for solidarity. And it's the unity that that God's calling us through. And he's doing it through the gift of the divine will. And that's something that we talked about earlier on some of the other programs. If this is the gift that's going to unite all the world, all religions, if it's going to be the unifier for all of Christianity, how can that be until the divine willies get united? I think there's a pecking order here. I think God's waiting for that. And, you know, it's hard sometimes because, you know, unity can only be, well, first of all, if you look up the definition of unity, unity has to be, and also Jesus talks about it in the volumes. He says unity has to be desired, number one. You have to want it. And number two, it must be grounded in truth. I mean, Maureen, if you see blue and I see red, we can never be united in what we see because we see something different. We hope that if you see blue, you see royal blue. Well, I see navy blue. That's okay. And Jim, he sees powder blue. Or aquamarine. So, but we're in the same family. It's still the truth, but we're just looking at it from a slightly different lens, slightly different perspective, maybe a slightly different angle.
Makes it more interesting too, I think.
It does. It allows us to broaden our understanding. Yeah. You know, to hear comments of others. And you know what? It's not like you have to use everything that you hear. Mm-hmm. You hear someone speaking about the divine will. My formula is take what's good and leave the rest. And I'm not saying that in a very derogatory way. I'm just saying there may be something or some things that resonate with you from her, and there may be some from him and from they and from, you know, so you just take all that in. And then again, you compile it and you form it into your own way. And then of mm-hmm. course, God says, okay, that's what you brought to me. Okay, that's a good start. Now let me teach you the completion of this. Because ultimately, our teachers are our blessed Lord and our blessed Lady, right?
Well, that's what I was going to say. And when there's disunity, or it just reminds us that we must be humble. The teachers must be humble. The students must be humble. And the only one that we raise up is Jesus and Mary and Louisa. And then we're reminded of our humanity. And we're all going to fail. That's the way it goes. And it keeps us humble. It keeps us wanting to learn. It keeps us hungry for God. If we become God and we think we know everything, well, who needs God? We have to stay low. We have to stay humble in our nothingness, like Louisa. I mean, geez, did Louisa ever put anybody down? I don't even know. Maybe she did, but I mean, she was so humble and lowly, yet the greatest saint that ever lived. After Our Lady.
When she was given something by Jesus, Maureen, she would always say, what about them, or what about her? What about
Yeah.
him? She was always looking out for the other
Yeah.
souls. I mean, even when it came to the chastisement, she says, "Chastise me completely,
Yeah.
fully. Let me absorb all the chastisement so everyone else does not have to suffer." So she really was, she had that upright intention. She wanted to do everything for God, for the glory of God, to please God. And secondly, for all her brothers and sisters. It wasn't about her at all. And I think that was so appealing to God. See, he knew what he was getting when he called her. And I think that's so special. And you know, we talk
He,
about this. Good morning, please.
no, I was just going to say he looked at her and she enchanted him. That word enchantment that we do on Wednesday, like he probably looked at her and just was enchanted by her.
And think about it. He chose her out of all souls, past, present, and future. So there is a clear distinction between Louisa and really all the other saints. And that's why, maybe that's another reason too, why this beatification or this canonization process is taking so long. I mean, how do you do this? I mean, she's like beyond a saint, only because of what God has entrusted her with. She's a nobody like us. But what he's done a marvel, the greatest marvel, through her nothingness. And I think we're going to hear a little bit about that today. And in the past is about, I love when Jesus says, you're to look like you're doing nothing while you do everything. See, it's the opposite, I think. Think about back the scribes and the Pharisees. They always had the appearance that everything was under control, that they were living the letter of the law. They just didn't know the law, they were living it. But most of them really were not. So God says now with the divine will, okay, saints in the past, they became who they are based on what they did. They did something first, and then they became great and known for that. God says, okay, I want to try something new. I want you to do the opposite. I want you to give up doing everything you're doing right now. And that doesn't mean helping your spouse or your elderly parent. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, religiously, spiritually. He says, pause that. Give up even holy things, come under the umbrella of divine will, and then go back out. And you don't have to do anything different than what you were doing. I mean, you may be called and inspired to do something differently, but you may just go right back to your devotions or whatever good works you were doing. But now in the divine will, God is taking your work and he's divinizing it. He's bringing it to a level that we cannot achieve by ourselves. And he's bringing it to a level that will effectuate a change positively on all souls, past, present, and future. I mean, I say that, and I say to myself, my gosh, I sound crazy. Can you imagine something that God is going to do that's going to impact all souls, past, the present, and those souls to come? That's his gift. And no wonder why it is misunderstood most times, or not even understood at all sometimes. We're struggling with it, but we recognize also that God is going to keep feeding us these knowledges. He's going to give us the grace to understand. Remember, grace anticipates the soul. So we don't want to outpace grace. So we want to stay in our lane, basically. But grace is going to anticipate the soul. We're going to get what we need when we need it. And then as every time we have that desire for it, it's like chewing something. You chew it, you masticate it, you swallow. Once you swallow, you're ready to take in more food. And Jesus tells Louisa, and he's also telling us, I think, he says, "This much I've given you already that you have not fully masticated." So I think we need to ponder more thoroughly what Jesus says in we talked about the that funny thing that says errors in the writings. We have to do it more thoroughly, just like what the church is doing now. They're going back, they're rereading, they're restudying, and they're refocusing because perhaps they did it too quickly. Perhaps they did it in a way that they need a second go around. And we know from experience, right, Maureen? We can read the same passage a dozen times, and it's sort of every time we do it, it's sort of like it's the first time we read it, but we have a little brighter insight or a little different insight. God feeds us a little bit at a time because he knows we can't take much more than that.
Well, isn't that, don't they call the scripture the living word? It's a living word. So if the scripture is a living word, then this is a living word.
Absolutely.
And so if it's alive, it's giving us different things, maybe at different moments in time. Because it's alive. And I was thinking about how if you're little, the enemy really can't find you as easily. And so I always think of us as being in a war. And you know, the guerrilla warfare where you're hiding behind the trees and you're jumping out. I just saw the French Revolution movie, so I was thinking of that,
Oh, really?
about the
Yeah.
Vendée. Yeah, but so with divine will, you remain little and do your acts and rounds and do your prayers in the divine will. Boy, it will take over quicker than those that are high. You know, don't feel like you have to be high up and out there and all that. Just stay little. This is a guerrilla warfare, and that's where the power is, I think, in the littleness of the prayers and the littleness of the front line of this battle. So stay little. Your prayers are worth more than anything ever in the history of the church,
That's
because of
true.
this gift. It's a gift. Yeah.
It's astonishing. We're going to read this again as we always do. The late Archbishop Vicari had asked that all who read these writings of the Divine Will be guided by a priest for any theological questions that they may have. And this has been also, many questions have been presented to him because there were some misunderstandings. Does this mean we can't gather? Does this mean we can't read? Mean we can't study, we can't journey the divine will? Absolutely not. In fact, the Archbishop says later on in this letter, he says, I highly encourage that. So what he's saying here is that when we come to that crossroad of something theological that perhaps we don't have any experience with, we don't have any knowledge of, we want to then go to a priest for that understanding. And if you think about it, theological questions, that can be answered by any priest. Not necessarily a divine will priest. Even a priest who doesn't embrace the divine will can still help with that theological question. So see how strategically the Archbishop placed this caveat. All be guided by a priest when you get to that point, that juncture, that fork in the road when you have a theological question. But that doesn't mean you can't meet and journey and read and study and listen without a priest. You can. In fact, it's highly encouraged. Actually, the Archbishop, when Father John Owen Brown came here, suggested that we do this in our homes. So there will be no risk of anyone putting a stop to it or somebody dissuading us from doing this. And again, if you're on church property, the church has the final say. The pastor has the final word on that. But again, if you're blessed to be embraced by the pastor or a priest in your local church, and you're invited in. Of course, that's where we want to be because you have greater exposure. You're under the umbrella of the Holy Mother Church, and again, if that's desirable, but it's not necessary if it's not possible. So we just pray. Yeah, that also reminds me of how do you do God's will? That question. And we can go on for days trying to philosophize that, but Jesus answers very simply. I don't even know where he did it, but I'm pretty sure this is the words. He says something to the extent, how do you know you're doing God's will? Well, he says, when you're tired, don't try to stay awake. And when you're awake, don't try to sleep. Think about how poignant, how direct that answer is, and how succinct it is if you really think about it. It's just basically don't press the issue. Again, don't outpace race. Don't outpace grace. It's all in front of us. And again, everything's a challenge. All obstacles are an opportunity to exercise our virtues. So without all this madness going on, how could we grow in virtue? We couldn't. It's incredible. So that's about the priest. I just wanted to mention that. We're still on 6.1.5.2. And for anyone joining us for the first time, Father Annunzio's dissertation, he took all of Luis's writings, he translated them from Italian to English, he summarized all the writings, he gave us the theological summary, and then also drives us into the volumes so that Jesus and our Blessed Mother may continue what our lovely priests and mother superiors and sisters have done and take us home with explaining this gift to us, in the speed that they wish. Again, this is a mystical gift. That's what's so incredible. It's not given like our baptismal gifts. It's not given equally. Mystical gifts are given unequally. It's given by God to whomever God wishes, when he wishes, to what extent he wishes. And we know we've all received many. I mean, one we can just talk about right now. We're only listening tonight because we've received the mystical gift of understanding of wisdom that has allowed us to understand that this divine will is out of the ordinary. It's extraordinary. It's something that we need to know more about, that we need to embrace. And we know that because we're here. And there are many of us, and there's not going to be many of us. And Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry about the numbers. And don't worry about those who trouble you. He says, I'll take care of them. You know, basically, don't you have to fight back. Just, you know, I mean, certain times you have to, but just, you know, it'll be okay. Fiat, move on. This is, he says also, and again, this is not patting anyone on the back and it's not putting anyone down, but he says, this is not for everyone at this time. It's for a small group. And that's what that, that cog, let me go, I'm sorry, Maury, right back here, because this is a real, I highly recommend this. Volume 16, February 2nd, 1924, explains basically what I just rambled about, where he's taking the small group. He's using the analogy of the cog. You know, he's the main cog with the power. And, you know, of course, Adam, when he sinned, he disengaged. So, of course, that power from God could not be transmitted and then cannot be passed down. It tells you exactly how it's going to be. It tells you about the small group. And it tells you about how, again, this circle of eternity will pour upon her so much that the whole celestial Jerusalem will remain stupefied and will make new feasts and will receive new glory. This, again, to what you said, Maria, this is enchanting God. Mm-hmm. And when we enchant God, God gives us all the graces necessary, even in the worst and the most difficult times, which may be ahead of us. So fear not. We have every, doesn't matter what poison is either forced into us or ingested by us, we have the antidote of all and to all poisons. It's the gift of the divine will. So fear not.
Well, we keep looking up. Our goal is heaven. So if our goal is heaven, then nothing should, okay, so what do they want to do? All right, well, I'm going to heaven that way then, whatever. I mean, we're free. Jesus wants us to be free. I think that's a great gift. So when you're able to say fiat to everything, you're free. You know, no one can take things away from you. No. You're free to love, you're free to give, you're free to whatever. I think to love is the main thing. Nothing can take that. You want to have that desire to love regardless. You have to. That I always was fascinated by the early Christians, their ability to love, and it really fascinated me. And now we're in the sanctification of the human race, so I think that's probably something that we want to strive for again, is to be able to love. And that's the greatest weapon there is, to love in the divine will. Oh, man.
That's right.
That's it. That's.
And to realize, Maureen, and to realize that nobody can take this from us.
No one.
Nobody can stop us from what God wants to give us. The only one that can ruin this whole plan is us.
Right.
Is us. No one. And that's so beautiful because we don't have to worry about anyone else, what they're doing. That's actually what he says. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about what they're doing or he's doing, she's doing. I mean, we pray for everyone. We don't want anyone to suffer unnecessarily, but it doesn't matter what goes on. You know, it reminds me too of, you know, we hear a lot about AI, artificial intelligence, you know, which is, again, this is intelligence based on whatever's put into it is what's going to come out. And again, it's a soulless decision. There's no soul there. Well, instead of AI, which I think is a sort of a satanic mimic, think about NI, which is natural intelligence. And this is the one that we're born with. This is the sort of the bylaws that are placed in our soul. That ability to know right from wrong, even without being taught it. That ability to know that compassion is greater than anger. It's that ability to be human. It's that ability to be Christ-like. It's that ability to be in the image and likeness of God. Now, again, that gets a bit diminished as we get older because, we're then subject to influence. But that natural intelligence, we need to really strip away all the other stuff and just rely on that, because God's given us everything we need in our soul, and we're just reactivating things, just like Louisa, the French philosopher Bergson said, it's the words of the mystics, these are approved mystics, that awaken the mysticism and the mystical aspect of our soul, which has been dormant for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And now it's being awakened. So it's the words of the mystics. The words of Louisa are stimulating, waking up the that part, that mystical part of our soul. You know, I was thinking about nurse. I was thinking about, like, for example, when you're exercising, and you when you exercise the glands. What are those glands that are under your armpits? The
Axillary. Axillary? Under
yeah.
your arms?
I think
I don't know,
they.
because I don't exercise.
Okay. Well, it's some almost like when you exercise, you have these endorphins that are released, and you feel better.
Okay, yeah.
And so something like that. Like, so, you know, by this stimulation, we're being moved without, we're being moved spiritually. We're being moved interiorly. We're not being moved outside. We're not shaking. Oh, by the way, we did have an earthquake here. I don't, did you feel it today, Marie?
Yeah, they did down here. I didn't, because I had five little children I was watching at the
Oh, so
time,
yeah,
and they were
you
jumping
felt the
around the living
earthquake.
room. I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, I think it was like 4.8. I mean, I felt the walls shaking, but a
Yeah.
lot of times we have like UE helicopters going by, so I
Yeah.
thought it was just that. But it was something odd. Yeah, we found out it was an earthquake. So, and that supposedly it was centered in New Jersey, and that's something that's out of the ordinary. So, again, this could be very interesting. But forgot where we were. But yeah, the mystical aspect of our lives, our awakening, and this divine will is all about the interior life of God. So we're learning what very few knew, if anyone knew, at the time. And again, this is an explication. There's no new public revelations, as our Article 66 states. Although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for the future generations, us, to better understand what's already been given. So it's not new, but it's new to us. It's that I still call here. It's that flower. The church is the flower for 2,000 years. We're looking at it. We have it memorized. And then all of a sudden, the divine will comes and it's a magnifying glass. Wow, let's look at that flower. Look at that. Look at the fuzz on the petals. Look at the photosynthesis of the leaves. That's all new. Yeah, it's new to us, but it's always been there. But we can see more clearly now because we have the lens of the divine will.
Jesus says, in the Passion, Mother, I make all things new.
Yeah,
That's
and he
my
does.
favorite line. Yeah.
He does. He takes what's old and makes it new.
Yeah.
Only he can do that.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
So we're on footnote number 105, Maureen, and that's
Okay.
why don't we read this up until 105? I don't have a cross. I'll stick a cross there.
6.1.5.2, the Son of God's subsistence in two substances. Thomas maintains that Christ's divine person subsists in two substances of the two natures, whereby his divine person communicates grace to human nature and not vice versa. Thomas relates that Christ's divine person realizes an exchange of two natures by personal union, while also acknowledging that we partake of said exchange by sanctifying grace, which he describes as a created union that subsists in human nature. Louisa elaborates on the manner of this exchange and subsistence in human nature when she affirms that in prelapsarian Adam and in the soul that lives in the divine will, the human will shares in the substance of the divine will.
Yeah. And again, this is the summary by Father Nuzzi. And this is very similar to what we should expect from the critical edition, where we'll explain certain aspects that are a little vague or a little ambiguous. In fact, Father is working now on adding to and sort of buffing up the doctoral dissertation and putting it into a structure that would replicate basically a critical edition, and he's working on that, and he's going to submit it to the Vatican. So and again, it's great. I know Father, he can definitely do it, but it all comes down to this. It all comes down to, if it's God's will that this process be started again, it's going to happen. It'll be successful. Father will be successful. If this is not the time for this to happen, doesn't matter what Father does, it's not going to work.
And you know, Father has that way. He's so like, so relaxed. He's not like, oh my gosh, I gotta go in front of the mat. You know, he's just like, whatever. You know, like he really puts that out of his personality. He's, I don't know, you sense that in him, that that's
Yeah,
how he lives. He's
because you
always
really,
smiling, you know.
yeah, because it really it all again. What I've also found to do when in situations, this is off the track, but not really on off the track. Instead of praying for something, I pray for God's will to be done.
Yeah.
First of all, if you pray for that, you're guaranteed to be answered. If it's what you wanted, great. If it's not what you wanted, great also, because God's going to make a greater good out of that anyway. So pray for God's will. I try to do that. I'm getting better at remembering to do that. So,
So isn't
oh,
that
I
that
hope
prayer, Abba Father, and the unity of the Holy Spirit, under the mantle of Mary with all the angels and saints, and through the intercession of Louisa Picaretta, take my humble prayer and make it your command?
yeah.
Isn't that what we were just saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember that like you do. I just say, Lord, I'm in this situation here. Let your will be done. And
Yeah.
whatever way it goes, you'll be a much greater level of peace than if you weren't, if you were looking. It's like gambling. You know, if you're gambling, well, I don't gamble, but let's say red and black, and you bet on black and it comes out red, you lose, you're not very happy. If you win, of course, you are happy. But if you bet on both of them, I mean, you can't lose. I mean, you wouldn't do that because I don't think you'd make any money if you're looking to make money. But bottom line is, we would be at peace with whatever the circumstances fall out. And again, I just remember what he says. If you're sleepy, don't try to be awake. Don't force yourself to be awake. And when you're awake, don't try to sleep. And that's how you're sure of doing God's will.
And you know what? You can see how
So simple.
you would be healthier. You know,
Yeah.
I mean, you're not negative, you're not fighting, you're not feisty, you're not anxious. You're in the will of God, and so you just would relax, I think, a lot more, because you know that this is God's say and whatever He wants. Although the
Yeah.
people in the world might think it's a cop out. Oh yeah, because I've had people say that to me before. But it's not. It's you give your life to Him.
Yeah, but didn't the apostles get the same thing? Hey, you guys don't work. You just travel around. You
Yeah.
scrounge up food. You're following this guy. And people didn't understand.
Yeah.
They were like, they were like lazy in certain aspects. And again, when God says, you're to look like you're doing nothing while you do everything. I mean, He's setting us up for that. But what He's doing is He's trying to break us from that outward appearance with no substance. So again, like the Pharisees and the scribes, again, we're not blaming all of them, but the vast majority, did not have it in their souls. So God's saying, I'm turning a new leaf. I'm starting a new chapter. This is the new and divine way of holiness, because actually what we're doing is we're allowing God to do the work. He doesn't need us, but He wants us. So we allow Him to do the loving. We love with His love, which is the greatest love that can be. Again, it's the reciprocal of love. And then we have examples of it all throughout the volumes and and the scripture that we talked about this too. Saint Anne and Saint Joachim, they lived a privy life. They had everything they wanted. It was a beautiful life, except they were childless. And then at Saint Anne's old age, she conceives and she has a child, not just a child. She has the Blessed Mother as a child. So their life is now fulfilled. They have everything. She received the greatest gift from God. And then what does she do? Our Blessed Mary turns to the age of three. And St. Anne gives her back to God, brings her
Oh
to
my
the
gosh.
church. The
Can you
greatest thing she was,
imagine? They're so cute at three. You just want to, oh gosh, what a sacrifice.
Yeah. That's, again, giving up even holy things. Of course, St. Anne knew there would be a greater good by doing that. That, to me, that exemplifies the divine will. It's God giving us His grace, His gifts, and we give the gifts back to God. On the level of God, due to God, only possible through the divine will. Extraordinary. And he chose us. That's what he has a wonderful sense of humor. He really does. When you think about it.
Wow.
We don't know what we're doing. We're not even sure we're getting good at it, but we just do the best we can.
Well, I think our Blessed Mother probably brought us along and said, "Jesus, they'll be all right. They're my children.
Yeah,
I've been training them. Take them."
I'll take care of them.
Yeah.
I can say that personally. Our Blessed Lady in my life has definitely saved me spiritually, and she's saved me physically from death a couple times. So I'm only alive because of her. And I mean, that's why I hope she's still behind me. That's why she's behind me, and she's over here, and she's on the walls and everywhere I can, because I owe my life to her. And again, what's she doing? She's doing the will of the Father. So it's a trickle down. But God sends out his representatives, his distributors. And again, Our Lady's the distributor of the grace of the divine will. She's not the manufacturer. God is. She distributes. Remember what Jesus says? If you want miracles and graces, go to my mother, as there's nothing I can deny that she asked me of her. I think I'm close to that quote. I have it somewhere, but yeah. And last but not least, before we start this 105, Maureen, but we out of time yet. I hope not. Okay. And another thing too that I keep remembering that, don't try to understand everything. We're
No,
incapable.
right.
And even
Good,
Pope
good
Benedict
point.
said, yeah, Pope, well, Pope Benedict said that to a speech to bishops. I don't have the year of this, but I have a quote, a couple lines. He said, quote, and this is really divine willis too. Pope Benedict said, quote, God is wrapping up everything. 6,000 years of assistance through grace is now being organized and explained by God himself so as to define unequivocally truth, the truth and nothing but the truth, not through man. Man must realize he cannot explain everything. End quote. Now, what about this Pope Benedict stating that grace is now being organized and explained by God himself? Isn't that one of the greatest delineations of the Book of Heaven? I mean, the gospel was influenced by God and written by men. The Book of Heaven was written by God. Louisa just transcribed. She just wrote what God said. So every word in this book, if we believe it, and if we don't believe it, then I think it'd be a terrible waste of time, right? It'd be like a fictional book, a novel. I don't know if people have time for novels anymore. I actually never read novels, but that's what I had to in school. But this is the real deal. And this is God speaking. And the church acknowledges that. They're just trying to make sense of it so that they can present it to all the faithful. I mean, we're in a glorious opportunity. And again, we're journeying right now in faith. And Jesus always said, it's the faith that has healed you. And when the church finally gives its final stamps of approval, I have to believe that some of that faith is going to be converted into obedience. So while we have this opportunity in total faith, we can believe, we can trust, and we can honor God. And he's enchanted.
In volume two, Jesus says, faith is God, or Louisa, faith is God. So
Faith
if you
is
have
God. Hey.
faith, that is God. Yeah.
And again, that's again another the language of heaven is being explained very simply. Faith equals God. I think that's exactly the words. You're right, Maureen. Faith equals God. End of story. So when Jesus said, well, when I return, will I find faith? Well, when I return, what will I find God? Well, people will be wanting me. Will they be desiring me? It's extraordinary. Everything is making more sense. It's the explication. Article 66, which states, although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for the future generations, us, to better understand what has already been given. That is so powerful. That's a great apologetic, too, if someone challenges you about the divine will, nothing new. You may want to repeat that. Or then also go to Article 67, which is the next subsequent one, which states, I'm going to paraphrase it, the role of the mystic is not to improve or complete public revelation, but rather to allow us to better understand it at a in a certain period of time. End quote. So that's what the mystic's role is. So everyone's staying in their lane. Everyone's doing what they've been endowed to do. They've been called to do. They're all staying in their office. The vice president's not trying to be president. The treasurer's not trying to be the financial controller. Everyone's doing what their job is. Remember, God, when Adam was first created, he said, oh gosh.
I love you, my God, my all, or something.
Yeah, my God, my all, the author of my life.
Author of my
So
life.
think about that. God has written our books completely from the beginning to the end, and they're perfect. God's rendition, his book of each one of us, has in the end us all being with him forever in heaven. But he loves us so much that he gives us sort of this quasi-editing capability. We can edit it if we want. You want to change what God wrote? Sure, go ahead. And we do it sometimes daily. Sometimes we change it back. But I know anytime I've changed what he's written in this spiritual book of life, I've messed up miserably. I allow it just to play out. And that doesn't mean just sit back and do nothing. Again, if you're tired, don't try to be awake. If you're awake, don't try to be tired. Just go with the flow. God's given us everything we need. We have already everything that we need for salvation. We have everything now also that we need in order to avoid purgatory. Remember, he says, if we live this gift completely and perfectly, we avoid purgatory. He's given us everything. And now we have Divine Mercy Sunday coming up, which allows us to obliterate, excuse me, our sins and the punishment for those sins. So all basically, we're clearing the field, and all we really have to worry about is that next year until next Divine Mercy. We only have 1 year.
Take me now, Lord.
potential sins and punishment. But again, he's taking 98% of all our baggage, our bad baggage. He's lifting it out. We're totally perfect at the end of that day until that person cuts us off in the parking lot or whatever else happens to us that day. But what I'm saying is, I mean, I'm being serious. We only have to be responsible for that year. That year. And we can fill our voids. We can make our acts and rounds. We can do everything possible. And we can have the hope that God wants us to have. We weren't born to be miserable. We weren't born to be just alive. We're born to strive and to thrive. And now we have the greatest gift to do it. It's unbelievable. Okay, what's also unbelievable is how late we're just starting. Okay, we're still on 105, and this is where we're picking up Maureen right after this. I have a little date here. And this is also for your edification. This is from Volume 35, March 22nd, 1938. Just a continuation.
Am I reading the red, Peter? Or no?
Oh,
I'm going to be low, right?
Yeah,
my
I don't
daughter?
Think we have time for
okay,
yeah, we'll
okay.
do it, my daughter, please.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that.
That's right. My daughter, the moment of death is the time of disillusionment. In that moment, all things present themselves, one after the other, to say to the human creature, goodbye, the earth is over for you. Now begins eternity. The soul undergoes an experience similar to that of being closed within a room with someone telling it, behind this room, there is another room where there is God, heaven, purgatory, hell, in a word, eternity. But the soul cannot see any of these realities. It hears such things being described by others. Thus, their words come across in such a way the soul is free not to believe them. That is, the soul may not place any great importance on believing with certainty what the others have described.
Again, just another explanation of this battle that occurs, this battle for our soul at the end of our physical life, where Satan tries to snatch us. It's just to start again. This also, Maureen, I think, is another great example. I have a little quote here. Or this is another explication. I mean, we knew the basics of what God is telling us, and what Luis was speaking about, but now we're getting more detail. And you know, it's funny when I couldn't help but laughing. It's not a funny thing, but close behind this room, there's another room, or this door. I was thinking of the show. Let's Make a Deal. Did you want what's behind curtain number one? You want curtain number two? But the soul cannot see any of these realities. It hears such things being described by others. Thus, their words come across in such a way that the soul is free not to believe them. That is, the soul may not place any great words of believing the certainty that others have described. So again, we want to make sure that we're certain that we've done what we can. We love God to the greatest ability we can. We've loved our brothers and sisters the best we could. Because we don't know. This may be my last cynical. I don't know. There's no guarantee. I hope it's not. But then again, that will be done if it were to happen. So not knowing, and knowing that our body is so miraculous, but at the same time so fragile, that really anything can happen, in the natural order. So this is just a beautiful opportunity every day. That's why we should not have ever a bad day. Yeah, some days will be better than others, but there shouldn't be any bad days. We wake up, we have cognitive thinking. We can pray, we can ask for this gift, we can do everything we need to do in order to receive it. Because again, it's not difficult. He says it's for everyone. He says, I had to make this easy and accessible in all situations, in all conditions, and in every place. Everyone. Father, I need to see the splendor of creation. Says anyone in the state of grace can receive this gift. If we're reading the volumes, he can give it to us because of our desire. If we've never heard of Louisa, we've never heard of the divine will, God can still, and we're in the state of grace, we're living a life that's grace filled, we can receive a gift from God. We can receive the divine will. Anyone in the state of grace can receive. But those who have been led to the divine will by the writings, have the volumes, audio, text, we have access to cenacles, we have access to all this information. You bet he expects us to do the best we can with what he's given us, because this is the shortcut. This is the fast track.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone's going to be given that ultimate mystical gift of waking up in the divine will, and you're not even Christian. That can occur, but that's going to be the in the minority. The majority are going to do it through their effort. And it's so beautiful too, Maureen. We talked about this. We did nothing to earn this gift. Nothing in our lives, like, oh, I did the soup kitchen for 9 years. No, none of that. This is a gift, a pure gift, irregardless of what, or regardless, I should say, I always mess up that word, regardless of what we've done in the past or not done, it's a gift. But once we're given the gift, that's when our work begins, because God is going to give us this gift commensurate to our desire, to what we want. And we need to, again, we need to enchant God. It says early in the volumes, it says the greatest way to keep receiving this gift to a greater extent is to move God, is to move God to make him want to give us more, to make him, pull that trigger, so to speak, to open up the gates to give us more. And now God is giving us the opportunity to enchant him, like our program on Wednesdays. And by enchanting God, it has moving God incorporated into it. It's a greater admiration for God. It's a greater satisfaction for God in what we're doing as we're climbing over these obstacles and running through this fog and all the other things we do. And what he's doing in exchange is he's giving us additional graces, because he recognizes and he knows times are going to get very difficult, and we need everything that God's going to give us. And we know that he will give us everything needed and necessary. And to your point, Marie, yeah, some of us will be called. I mean, we're all going to be martyrs in the divine will. Some white and some red. But it doesn't matter. Because I think if any of us had the opportunity when we first came to the age of reason, someone said to us, okay, instead of giving you 80 years of life on this earth, I'm going to give you 35. And then I promise you'll be in heaven forever. I think if we had that opportunity to make that decision, being intellectually honest with ourselves, we would take the 30 years as opposed to the 80. So that's what God's doing right now. He's saying every day is a gift. Every hour is a gift. And we're all a gift to each other. And that's why we should always be helping each other, always supporting each other, like Hebrews. I forget what the passage, what chapter it is in Hebrews, but just support one another, encourage one another every day until this day is no longer. That's our job. That's our full-time job. Okay. We can tack another paragraph. How are you in time, Maureen?
Good, good.
Okay.
When my weak nature could not take any more, adorable Jesus came back in the act of wanting to speak with me, and I, remembering the obedience which wants to reign over all, immediately said to him, "My dear life, I cannot speak. Please do not come, for obedience does not want it. If you want to make your will understood, go to them."
See how her suffering was not just physically. I mean, the majority of her really tough suffering was spiritual, was emotional.
Yeah, she would rather get the crown of thorns and be crucified than to do without Jesus. It's amazing. And she did. I mean, she had the crown of thorns. She had the nails. She had unspeakable physical sufferings. And she would take all that if she could be with Jesus. Wow. There's a lesson there for us. I don't know if we're there yet, but.
Well, that was going to be my question to myself. Would I be willing to do that?
Yeah.
And you know what? You know what I think? And I think I can answer for everyone that's on the Seneca right now. I think it's difficult to decide or even to give a definitive yes, I would give up my life, or no, I wouldn't give up my life. I think we would all be caught right in the middle of that. But I think, I really think, and I think this sincerely, I think if we're all faced with that situation and we know we're doing it for God and for everyone that we love, I think that answer or that decision to give up our life will be easy for all of us, no matter what age. Again, give up holy things. I'm not that we're holy, but for a greater good.
Well, Jesus talks about the martyrdom of your will. So we can practice, giving up our will every minute of the day. I mean, that for some people is harder than going to the guillotine. I think it's just it's a constant every second of the day.
It's just that perspective. We have to, I'm stuck sometimes on a certain perspective, and I have to, we have to start wanting to see it through God's perspective. And I think when we ask him for that, he's going to start sort of breaking down our movie or our images and start to superimpose his so we see it reality. But again, I think that's the asking. Remember, to receive this gift, we must be in the state of grace. We must have an upright intention. We must want it for God first to glorify God. We must desire this gift. We must have an ardent desire, and we must ask for the gift. He wants to hear us ask. Now we can do it verbally through our mouth, or we can do it internally. We're still asking for it. He wants us. See, irrational creatures cannot do that. He wants that communication. He wants that desire to be articulated to him. I mean, that caught me by surprise. I can understand state of grace, upright intention, and ardent desire, but they ask. You know what? That's what God wants. So that's what we give God. It's incredible.
I think we grow into it. I mean, and I think about the apostles in their beginning days, which I consider myself a beginning day person.
Got me too.
And as they grew, and as I mean, look at them when after Jesus and the Spirit came upon them, and then continuing on, going to Rome and being martyred, or all the things that they did, they were all martyrs. But in the very beginning, they would have never seen themselves as that. So it's all we're growing, and the Lord gives us the gifts that when we're ready, and we have to be patient with ourselves and each other. And some of us will get it quicker, some of us will never get it. We're all different. We all help each other.
Question, Maureen. Who was the closest apostle to our Blessed Lady?
St. John.
Who was the only apostle that was not martyred?
St. John.
So,
Who was the apostle of love?
if
St.
anybody doesn't
John.
want to be martyred, grow
Yeah.
closer to Our Lady. It's a very simple formula.
Well,
Good gosh. Any closing comments, Maureen?
no. It
Okay.
was good. It was good. Yeah.
I'd like to bring this up then, if I may, quickly, for Divine Mercy Sunday. We're really blessed. We'll be joining the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will from Italy on Divine Mercy Sunday. And we're going to discuss the braiding of the gift of living in the Divine Will and the Divine Mercy devotion, how interwoven they really are, and how spectacular. Like, for example, the first Divine Will Sunday was really technically on Luisa's birthday, which was the first Sunday after. I mean, the correlations are incredible. And then, how you mentioned how Luisa was awakened every day out of her sort of comatose-like state. The priest came in and prayed. What was the other one?
Holy God, holy
Holy.
mighty one, holy immortal one, have
And then
mercy on us.
she awoke, awakened. And remember, she told God, she says, "You must give your mercy. You must do it. You must do it now." And then 9 or 10 months later, Saint Faustina is born. I mean, you
Yeah.
just this stuff up. So we're gonna do this. We're gonna do it. 1 o'clock. There'll be adoration and rosary, the Divine Will Rosary. And then at from 2 to 3:30, we're going to get together. Now during this time, we're also going to be doing two things. We're going to be listening to the Divine Will Chaplet. We'll probably do that as our opening prayer. We'll just listen to that. It's only 6 minutes long. And then at we'll talk about the Divine Will and Divine Mercy from about 2 to 3:15, and then from 3:15 to 3:30, we will pray collectively together in the Divine Will, the Divine Mercy Chaplet. So
Nice.
if you're going to go to confession the 8 days before or after, or if you have already, if you're going to attend Mass, on either Saturday evening or Sunday, and you haven't done your chaplet, then why not do it with us? We can do it together in the Divine Will. And I think that'll be, and with the Benedictine Doors of Divine Will, are a great opportunity we have. We're all blessed. We're recognizing it to greater extent every day, every moment of every day. Things are pretty good, considering.
Yeah.
But we need each other. And we need to support one another. And we need to be kind to one another. We need to love one another. We don't have to be friends. But we have to love one another. Be nice to be friends, but if we can't, it's okay. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Maureen.
Okay. Thanks, Peter. Goodbye,
Thank
everybody.
You all. See everyone on Sunday, hopefully. This would be great. Happy and blessed Divine Mercy Sunday to everyone. Love everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.